Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are coming to you live and in living color, and certainly are very happy to do so. In the background, you're hearing something that is coming from out of the motherland, but hear the influence of the blues that we originated here. Indeed, very interesting. It makes you wonder which came first, you know. But nevertheless, we give thanks for you joining us this evening. And we're going to continue what we've been doing all week. And that is, of course, we've been holding what we call Black Women's Power Forum. We've been doing that all this week. And we've been doing it because we are preparing for some very important and dynamic kinds of things that will be happening next year as a part of the Me a Woman movement. And certainly we're talking about a Black Women's Power Forum that's going to also be in the form of a pre-political convention. And we'll be talking more about that very shortly as well. But again, we thank you for tuning in to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. And before we kick tonight's program off, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. And remember, we are always very appreciative and cognizant of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Tonight, we are going to talk more about, of course, dealing with our sisters, because this week I've kind of earmarked that for some specific things, building sisterhood, but also empowerment, becoming more whole. We're going to talk more about that. Now, this week we've covered health issues, we've covered business. Last night we had Sister Laverne joining us, and for those who missed last night's program, she was only on for a short period. We're going to bring her back soon, but this sister is truly, truly, she talked about being one of the first vendors, street vendors here in Philadelphia and the only sister, and started out with a milk crate and some crochet. And that's how she started knitting crowns, knitting caps, knitting hats for our people on the corner, sitting on a crate and with her son. And here we are today. She started in the 60s, and she's now been manufacturing her own hats and scarves for the winter, and remains one of the few Black vendors in the Center City area here in Philadelphia, because as we said last night, the plan that this government has on the national level is really very interesting, and has been in effect for a while, in case you don't know. Here in Philadelphia, they have something called 2035, which is by the year 2035, the whole city will have changed. They've already done it in parts of New York, Harlem, for example, and needless to say, they've done it in D.C. The idea of what we call gentrification is much bigger than that, and so now we are beginning to see some of the manifestation. Now, with that said, one of the topics we're going to cover tonight is, of course, the fact that the government has recently passed a bill that is going to cut what folks call food stamps. It's going to cut them off. And we're talking about at least 1 million folks. I'm going to give you the stats in a few minutes, but that's some of the dialogue we're going to have tonight, because that stuff is very, very important. And not so much because that's what they're doing, but what are our people going to do? And so we need to look at that very seriously, and we're going to tonight. Now, later on, we should be talking with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., who is going to give us a report on, of course, the hunger strike that that's taking place in Cali. The brothers there, the so-called inmates there, the prisoners there, are on a hunger strike. And I think on Wednesday there was a press conference, and so Chairman Free is going to give us the update on that. Also, we're going to talk very shortly with Dr. Randy Short, who's going to give us a report on the hearing that took place on Thursday. This hearing, of course, was to begin to focus on the issue of Depo-Provera, which is a very dangerous drug that many of our women and girls are taking and have taken. And what we've talked about in previous programs is the fact that this drug is more than meets the eye, meaning while, you know, some women, you thought that, okay, yeah, I'm not going to get pregnant, oh, they didn't bargain for the fact that there was an only one going to get. So some of them weren't going to have any more children, period, because Depo has been reported to have caused sterilization. Now, for those who have heard this program before, certainly you know that's a topic that we have talked about on numerous occasions as it pertains to the practice of eugenics. Well, these people got something new going on. Not really new, but it's just not quite as in your face as what they used to do. See, they used to hang us from trees and castrate us and beat us to death and all this. Well, see, now they got this biological thing going on. You know, they created what we call Frankenfood. You know, monstrous food that they take a piece of this, a piece of that, a piece of this, and create a food. Frankenfoods, right? They now are, you know, creating all these drugs that do God only knows what. So they up their ante and in such, you know, have really began to put their plan into effect. I mean, it's been in effect all along, but see now, see before they needed us, well, family, now guess what? They really don't, at least not in the same way and not to the extent. They got some new Negroes now, okay? And by the way, as I walk through our communities nationwide, would someone please, and I'm going to open up the chat room shortly, would someone please tell me how can the Dominicans come in our community and open up Dominican salons? I'm baffled. I don't quite get this. And I mean, it literally says on their doors, Dominican, in the black community. Now, I don't claim to know it all, family, but, I mean, that one right there is truly baffling. I mean, I get that we just sat back and let the Korean, well, first it was the Jewish people, they came in our community. Then, of course, it was the Korean people. Then it was the Chinese people, they're still there, and the Koreans, too. But now the Dominicans and dealing with hair? I'm baffled. But we're going to open up the chat room and kind of have that dialogue very shortly as well. But I'm just saying, what we call the black community, okay, what part of that is now black? Other than we live in some of these houses and in many cases are renting. So what part of these are the black community nowadays? Lastly, before we take a break, I want to all remind you again, and he's probably listening, but the person named George Tillman, please make sure you do not support that documentary. It is a bogus fraud, and that puts it all mildly. I don't know this man. I only spoke with him a few times after the fact, after he supposedly made a documentary on the Million Woman March. He never interviewed me, so he has no real information and is utilizing the emotions and the really good intentions of women who came from Memphis to the gathering, and he's playing on them. So I'm planning to go there very soon to hold a press conference in his city, in his town, in his community, and tell everyone there that this Negro really is, like, you know, out of place, out of pocket, and hopefully going to be out, period. Okay, so we'll talk more about that very shortly as well. We're going to open the chat room in about 5 minutes. And in a few minutes, again, we should be talking with Dr. Randy Short, who, by the way, will be coming to Philadelphia very, very soon as part of the kickoff for the community hearings that are going to be held in various cities to focus on getting, you know, our women who have been affected by this GetPro thing. We want to start getting testimonies because there is a class action suit that is going to be filed. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking more liberation, motivation, inspiration, new day, resurrection, and liberation. And in the background, of course, none other than Fela Kuti. Wow. Moving right along, what we're going to do is kind of review some of what we went over this past week while we're waiting for Dr. Randy Short to join us. Some of the other things that we covered this week, of course, was the fact that the Million Women Movement will not only be holding its commemoration anniversary observance on October the 25th, which, of course, is going to be at the Justice Department when we charge genocide. Again, we hope that you will join us. We certainly would love to have your support and participation. This is very, very important because this has not been done in the 21st century. And needless to say, the memory of El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, the memory of Queen Mother Moore, and others, when they made it very clear that human rights is essential and to charge this government with genocide is absolutely necessary. Now that many of us are going into other countries, having dialogue and setting things up, certainly we need to be putting into their ear and into their their operations, that we have to make certain that they know not only what has happened to us here, not that they don't know, but for Africans here to literally stand up and say, look, we not only are charging these people with genocide, but we got to have some kind of, remedy. Let's put it that way. And, of course, with that said, where some don't quite get the concept of reparation or don't agree with it or whatever, nevertheless, these people owe us. Now, some are taking the position that, well, look, I don't want anything from them. Well, that's cool. You know, we respect that position. But at the same time, as we often see it, if somebody hits you with a car, 9 times out of 10, you got to go to the hospital or get some doctor bills paid, or you, if you're working or whatever, you can't go to work or whatever, then guess what? They need to pay you. Well, that's what we're talking about. Callie House, Mother Callie House, she called it workers' compensation. We're talking about in the 1800s. So whatever name you want to call it, it's fine with me. But these people cannot get away with what they've done. And we're going to make sure that these other countries that talk about human rights and talk about, you know, the Universal Declaration that they all signed, well, it's time to hold them accountable too. Anyway, we'll tell you more about that as we proceed. And again, we're going to open up the chat room in a few minutes. In the meantime, we're going to go to our live line, and we do now have Dr. Randy Short, who's ready to give us some updates on what went on in D.C. In terms of the presentation and the what we call a first phase kind of operation in addressing this issue of DEPRO. Again, we have to pass the word, spread the word. That's how we really communicate, family. We pass the word. And, you know, we have a lot of young sisters out here now who don't have any real information. And all they're hearing is, look, you know, you take this thing and you don't have to worry about getting pregnant and you don't have to take the pill every day and blah, blah, blah. And all that stuff sounds real good. So we have a lot of naive folk, both young and old, who, you know, really are innocent, to be honest with you, because they don't know. So we have to step our game up and, as such, make certain that they're able to get information. So we have to be a lot more proactive about that, and that's what we're talking about doing. So with that said, we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk to Brother Randy about what happened earlier this week, or actually on Thursday, I believe, on the 20th in D.C. Needless to say, he's going to tell you about the attempt to sabotage of the information being substantiated or put on record, shall we say, because this is what these people do. As soon as you try to do something that, you know, exposes them, and certainly that helps to uplift or edify people, they're going to do whatever they think they can to impede, impose, and whatever else. So Brother Randy will tell you more about that as well. So let us go to our live line, and joining us right about now is Dr. Randy Short. Okay, do we have you on this line, my brother?
Yes, we do, sister. I just have to make all one peanut gallery comment, then I'm going to get with business. Y'all need to call your state university there Pedo State, not Penn State. Whew, this priest up in Scranton with this kid with no pants on. I mean, Lord have mercy. What do you think they're doing in the child welfare system? I'm not going to even mess with that. Let us get right on. We had our meeting. It was the room was filled. And you need to understand that the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, and you know I call them the confused BS caucus, because they're no longer the conscience of the Congress anymore, not most of them. You know, there was this big tussle and rustle and over whether we could get a room or not. Now, the D.C. Convention Center, trust me, they'd have rooms if you had a marijuana smoking convention, so you know that they had enough room for us to be in the main building, but you know they didn't do that. So they put us all the way over in the Capitol Visitor Center that has more drafts. And let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Apples in Nazi Germany had more customer service than the folks who made me and my mother throw out bananas and apples and bottled water away. I mean, that's about some hate. They had this cracker that looked like someone that tortured people in Guantanamo, making all the black folks be nasty to us before we could even get in there. I mean, that was deep, too. In fact, when we were black, the folk were hostile, like, well, what are you coming for? Well, you have to line up. And I had to say, what? I'm not on a tour. I'm not interested in coming here. I'm here for a congressional meeting. Then they let us come in. They were embarrassed. But, do you know, they didn't even expect that black people knew where the thing was. So, you know, I knew that was always my tip-off there's going to be an issue. And the folks were so nasty to us, and even the black people. By the way, a bunch of them foreign black folks with jobs have been told, okay, be rough on the blacks from here. You might be able to get a green card. And then there were some other African Americans. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to pray for our people because I live here. And I'm going to say this to some of y'all. If you're dark-skinned black, don't be ugly and nasty to everybody because everyone doesn't hate your dark skin or how you look. I can't stand when I go places and you have security guards and they tend to be a particular complexion, and they're hateful to everybody else. I'm not even a red bone. It seemed like do that to El DeBarge. Do that to the Kardashians. Not to me. I'm not trying to pass. You know? Please. So I'm serious. Dark-skinned black folks, get over it. Stop being ugly, especially people like me who are sort of brown. Be mean to the ones who you know are passing. You'll get a raise. In fact, someone got a raise when they identified Plessy faking being white on that train down in Louisiana. That's what you're supposed to be to someone passing. Don't do it to us who know who we are, because we tend to think you're black and beautiful, but don't be black and ugly towards folks who esteem you. That's my comment for today, because I see too many. You know, you see them TSA, it's the black folks, they be the hardest ones. Well, I don't care if you have a plastic thing, take that out too, and they set it off. And you're like, huh? And so it blows your mind. They're afraid of bottled water coming into a government building, and they send cluster bombs, and they send sarin gas to Africa and other places, and yet you can't walk in with your own water in a government building. Go figure how paranoid
these people
are.
Oh, yeah, they have that here in Philly as well. When you go to the Justice Center, you cannot take anything in. Same thing here.
I almost had to take out my blessed oil and my holy water and sprinkle it on the devils up in there. You know that this is a wicked government. Now, on top of that, they desecrated the earth because Capitol Hill is where my tribe, the Piscataway people, used to have their religious gatherings. So, you know, I felt violated all over again to deal with. And some self-hating Puerto Ricans and other people up in there. You know, I can't stand Afro-Latins that think they're white. You know, yeah, they got a little bit of mohair, but they get relaxers too. Okay, you know, we try to make it seem that they're more Spanish. I've got to talk about these people because that stuff made me angry when I write the congressman. No. Now, let me tell you, when we got down to the auditorium, I was with my pastor. My pastor's sort of militant, but he didn't have to move the church because, you know, they may kick him out. You go over to nationalists and like, sure, we didn't bring you in here to be militant. They had all these people from the Confederacy, there's big statues to these folks who were fighting for slavery. You know, my first thing was to try to scratch myself and smear it on this, but I didn't. But I saw the CSA, Confederate States of America. Why do they have that statue there? So I was walking toward the auditorium. Congressman Lacey Graves, a staffer, a wonderful woman named Noelle Lindsay, came up and said, the room has been switched. So they took us from the nice big room and to a smaller room, but the room was full.
Mm-hmm.
And the congressman was there. And we had a very distinguished panel. We had Congressman William Lacey Clay speak. My mama gave the invocation. And y'all have to forgive me, but I like someone in the National Action Network. I have to confess this to you, Sister Empress Philae. If I'm a little soft, I happen to like Pastor Lennox Abrego. He is the president of the National Action Network chapter in D.C. They actually help people. His wife is a victim of Depo Provera, as is his daughter and granddaughter, so he is truly committed to fighting against the of our women. So I have to give praise to Nan. I have to give it. Otherwise, you know, I just lay into, you know, the one, but we won't talk about him. We'll stay positive. But this man has said he's put it all out. He's leaned on everybody he can. The Depo Provera has to be stopped. And then we had other speakers. Mm-hmm. We had Dr. Charlotte Charity Abaka. She's a human rights expert and the former chair of the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. She's 71 years old. She was bad. She demanded reparations for the victims of Depo Provera. She's kept all her notes. In fact, my colleague came by because, and when we left, I ended up with her paper. She's going back to Ghana to raise hell to get Depo Provera out of Ghana and help us here. Praise God. Mrs. Paula Brigo, She was there to speak. Reverend Brooke Parker Bello, she's a woman who was a sex slave. She was kept in a dog kennel, in a pit bull kennel with dogs.
Sex
up to 20 men a day. Repeatedly forced to take Depo Provera and get abortions to the point where she's sterile now.
Oh, wow.
She's now a woman minister, and she's the executive director of More to Life. She's a writer, and I said I had her card. I want her to work with, because she's fighting. She was up in Obama's and everybody else's face saying it's time for us to stop the enslavement of children. And I have to just say this because, you know, when you have an 11-year-old or 5-year-old or whatever, that's not a child prostitute, brother or sister. That's a slave. There's no neutral thing. You give my Hershey bar and you have sex with them. That's slavery. It's not prostitution when they're underage. It's not prostitution. You take them from their families or bring them from another country. And a disproportionate number of the sex slaves in America are young black women. And a lot of black
That's right.
men in this country, they're not pimps. They're slave masters. And we need to stop calling it pimping. You're a slave master, and if you thought it was good for Nat Turner to slash his slave master's throat, how should we feel about black men that enslave our girls and boys? Dr. Joel Prenn, professor of biology and endocrinology at the City University of New York, someone that I got to talk to more because he's met. This guy's conscience has been pricked. He's a white man. By the people who hate black folks so much, with the inoculations, they're working on proteins that when you get a measles shot or something like that, they can put something in that makes the proteins in your body reject the ovum, the eggs coming from your ovary to line up on the wall for you to get pregnant. They have that kind of technology now. We have Lisa Davis, chairperson of the Black is Back Coalition Healthcare Working Group. Of course, my partner in crime, attorney Kwame Fosu, policy director and women's rights advocate of the Rebecca Project for Human Rights. We had this woman named Lulu Nesfin. She's a human rights advocate. Dr. Stephen Menken. He's a public health and HIV/AIDS expert, a white American person, heart in the right place. He has a theory that HIV is a disease that comes from white people that ended up coming to black people through blood transfusions. He's blaming white people for AIDS. AIDS is not a black disease. In fact, he was saying that Charles Drew is the greatest scientist in all times in his mind, and white folks found a way who discriminated and mistreated Dr. Charles Drew to get his invention of blood plasma and save millions of lives and turn that around and kill tens of millions of people and then blame it on the primary victims. He's disgusted. Elise Lauder, a white South African, an Afrikaner who's been poisoned with Depo Provera. She was in Swaziland, and because they send this Depo Provera to kill our African sisters and everybody else, and they don't think they're white women in Africa, she ended up on Depo Provera. It has distorted bone growth in her face, so her face is lopsided. She is sick, chronically ill, and fatigued from Depo Provera. Her daughter has been impaired, and she says that she can see birth defects through two generations of her offspring because she used Depo Provera. As far as she's concerned, she's down with black women to bring this house, this filthy house of Pfizer and eugenics, crashing down because they got her, not so much just because they got her, but the arrogance that these people think that this is good for everybody but them. They don't realize that they'll destroy other people. So she was on point. Dr.
Well, you know, on that note, my brother, you know that there's always casualties. So they don't
always
care about that. They always will let a few of them be affected.
And you know what? She realizes that. She realizes that and says, you know what? She shouldn't have been a casualty. So now she's on our side. I wish all the folks who were casualties, we're talking about the economically challenged whites who never can get it straight, if they could get it, and she's an Afrikaner and she got it, Why is it taking them 700, 800, what is it, 400 years to even get a clue that they're all expendable anyhow? But, you know, let them eat their pork rinds in ignorance and drink Yahoo chocolate soda. What can we do about that? And Yahoo, that's why none of them have teeth no more. Jesse Murrow, Social Reform Director. He's with the Church of Scientology National Affairs Office. Professor Charles Ogletree, Harvard Law School professor. The Reverend Marvin Owens, my pastor, the senior pastor of Michigan Park Christian Church. The great Joan of Arc against eugenics and sterilization, Elaine Riddick. This is my distant cousin. She claims to look just like her son. She was the one forcibly sterilized at the age of 13, and she's fought to get a compensation for the thousands of victims in the state of North Carolina that totals at least $10 million. Julie Wakiria, a women's rights advocate and partnership in the League for African Development. Imani Walker, the venerable Imani Walker, the co-founder and executive director of the Rebecca Project for Human Rights. Mrs. Renee Williams, she's from the University of the District of Columbia, and she's here in D.C. They began injecting this girl with Depo-Provera at the age of 12, when they know Depo-Provera is not to be given to people before the age of 18. They are killing our girls here. And last but not least, I have to say that Dr. Afiang, El Afiang, the powerful woman that you met up in New York, Sister Empress, she was there from the Moyo Center. Now, I need to tell y'all, I was there speaking too. The minute that Congressman Clay left, they began the plot to take our program down. We were supposed to have 2 hours. We only got one.
Wow.
They waited for the congressman to leave. And they had police with their guns at the door because one of my cousins came, and they told him before it closed that it was over.
Yep.
Do you understand why I say black neck? Can your audience say black neck? This is what the Congressional Black Caucus, because they get money from Pfizer, they get money from Merck, they get money from, Bayer. They get money from these people who give the psychotropic drugs, like that dude that went Postmaster General up in the Navy Yard this week. Somebody say, Holy Ghost, help me. I mean, we need to stop taking that stuff. And on top of that, you know Depo-Provera, and I'm going to say this to men, Depo-Provera doesn't have the same effects on men as it does on women. In fact, Depo-Provera is best used on men than on women because it reduces sperm counts. Now, not that I want men to take Depo-Provera, but isn't it disgusting that men are silent when a drug that's actually better for men, where men could take it versus women take it, but men don't want to take it because it causes zero libido. So we would rather our women die from AIDS and cancer and heart attack and stroke and ectopic pregnancy because we're afraid when we don't want to pay for it that if we get the shot, we won't want to get the milk and pay the cow, or we won't want milk anymore, so it's better for women to die from it. Men are selfish as hell. I mean that, and I love being a man. We're one protein from being female. It's no joke. And I'll just say something on the radio. I empathize with sisters. I know what it's like for someone to try to sexually assault me as a child. There are a whole lot of men out there in denial, and you're full of stool. There are a lot of predators in our community, and there are a lot of predators in the community that oppresses us. We need to come together and form a collective strength to fight the predators. I'm talking about so-called straight. There's nothing straight about a man that rapes a woman. There's nothing straight about a man that rapes a child. There's nothing straight about a man that rapes another man in jail or tries to. These predators, these monsters who get a pass because this idea is, well, the only thing that the white society has left me is my penis, and I treat it like an Uzi where I spray the area like a closed-circuit camera. This has got to stop. This isn't manhood. This is debauchery. It's hedonism. It's destruction of our women and our children and our future. We got to get a hold on ourselves. We got to get a hold on ourselves. If you had heard Elaine Riddick speak, if you had heard Imani Walker speak, if you had heard this woman, Booker, speak. Brooke Parker Bellow, speak. And you look at how good these women look, but how they have been abused, how resilient mm-hmm. they've been. But they've been through, and often by the hands of black men who beef and complain about how rough and how racist America is. Why are we doing this horizontal violence against our sisters? Why are we silent? Why do we say, well, that's her issue. Well, she's got it taken care of. It's, you know, it's easier to put a condom on than it is to take the pills every day. It's easier to put a condom on than for a woman to get a shot. It's easier to put a condom on than a woman to put a piece of copper or iron or something stuck up in her that doesn't belong. Why is it so hard? If getting sex is what it means to be a man to certain folks, seems like it would be a gratuitous thing, like opening the door, put on a condom, put on two if you got extra reach. But why be silent? Why treat this as if this is a woman's issue? It's a survival of our people. You're not going to have no women to sleep with, or, and there are a whole bunch of men out here in D.C., you're as likely to get HIV/AIDS from sleeping with a woman as you would messing with the dude, because the women are using Depo-Provera here big time in D.C. and in New York and in Atlanta. And what's happening is this whole myth that you can do whatever you want as long as you're standing up or as long as it's with the sister, it's not true. AIDS has been around long enough for us to get smart, okay? And no, I'm not knocking people getting whatever they're going to get, but do we have to die for it? It seems as if European people, there's no more ho-ish people. I'm talking about green giant, ho-ho-ho, European hedonism. I mean, big time. You know the green giant that says ho-ho-ho? Go to Europe. They got sex shops everywhere, and these folks put on the condoms. And you got condom money. If you can buy cigarettes, if you can buy blunts, you can buy a condom. You can even bum them. And, I mean, they give them away. I mean, no, don't go to Planned Parenthood. They put pinholes to give them to black people because they want to sell some abortions. But brothers, sisters, this is survival. That's what we were talking about. And we really need people to step up and be honest about the incest and the rapes, and we need to be healed, and we need to protect each other. One of the comments I made was the apex of manhood is that that protects women and children. That's when manhood is truly demonstrated. Now, given all the people who think child support is robbery, and down here in D.C., you know what they do? They run up to a policeman and blow a marijuana smoke ring so they can get arrested so they have to pay child support. I mean, that's not a man when you had a job and you went to jail to not pay child support, okay? If you were smart, by the way, a lot more brothers need to learn how to read and write. That way you can fight these sisters in court. But when you're dumb and you sink with your genitalia, there's a whole legal system waiting, and they always have those little white lesbian lawyers and the family, the woman that always have like the Elvis Presley cuts that you, and you know they don't like black men. They'll do anything they can to help break up a black family. And they've studied in school, and they're not trying to be pretty. I mean, they don't even know what lipstick is. Or they think lipstick is something else. I won't get into that. Brothers, we've got to wake up. And we've got to join forces with our sisters. Sisters, stop being selfish and narcissistic. If you've used Depo-Provera, or if you've had, tell some women the truth. Don't be 14. Don't be 25 years old and tell girls when they're 12 they need to find out what it's about so they start having sex all early. Then they get pregnant and they're miserable like you are. You know, there's a lot of information that needs to move around the community, and I have seen way too many women sit up and hide in front and pretend, especially church women. You know, they're the biggest holes, like I said, green giant level holes. Then all of a sudden get saved and come to church, and then they can't talk about nothing. They can't say, I was the biggest stripper. In fact, I had enough tips to buy the brownstone I'm in to tell these young women the perils of being out there. We used to talk to each other. Even the blues had a little bit of information about things not working out. We need to begin to be honest with each other. Don't wait for another person to fall into a hole that you fell into. sisters. You know that the stuff is there. You know you bled. You know you hurt. You know what it did to you. We tell the younger women, that's part of being a woman. Isn't being selfish with some Chinese plastic glued to your head. It's about teaching these young women how to go even further than you have. It's not about tricking the fool in family law court. It's about not getting pregnant by a sucker in the first place. You are not a businesswoman if you lie on someone and they pay child support. Because one of these days, some of them are going to get smart enough when black guys stop thinking that, you know, when they learn that the genitalia doesn't rule the planet. And if it did, wouldn't we be free, black men? If that made you free, wouldn't we be in a different situation? So come off the fantasy. When the brothers, I've seen them wake up. In fact, there was one that woke up in Charlotte, lost a child support thing, whatever, and he let himself get shot to death by the police. So now the woman's not only a widow, but she won't even get any cash to take care of the kids she beat him out of. Oh, yes. I'm just being real. I'm being real that we've got to discover a way to be better towards each other. Nobody has to get, not another person needs to get HIV. Not another person needs to get raped or abused. If we could just stop some of this, talk to each other. And sisters, again, it comes back to you. Who are you talking to? I mean, are you talking to someone who looks like King Kong with the tongue ring? I mean, if he looked like a monster and he doesn't communicate, why, after you have two or three kids and he hasn't married you, why is he going to start communicating then? And if he does, you know it's going to be the B word. I mean, I could have told you that before you had the kids with him. So this is sort of where we need to get serious, because they got a plan for us. When Dr. Bren starts telling me this stuff, I'm going to send you the slides, sister. They've got so much stuff that they plan to do for us hormonally. I mean, he says they have a whole lab, a whole industry designed to shut down black women. White guys, kind of a lot of them are being told to date, you know, when they read Essence and white males are the new black men. White is the new black. I guess that's why they have blonde hair. Okay, now, no matter what I say, you know, you're better off nine and a half times out of 9 3/4 times with your own black brother than somebody else. I'm sorry, you know, maybe the Chinese dude can cook. Maybe he's got a laundry. Maybe the Indian guy has a computer shop. And maybe the white dude, you know, because he's living off the residuals of your enslaved ancestors. Yes, he has more money than the black dude. But at the same time, if he decides to beat you up, the white cops aren't coming. You can lie on a brother, get him locked up, but you don't have. He can be bloody, and they won't even help him because he's a black man. You won't have one bruise. You can get him locked up. You know, you step out of your area running after something else. Same thing for black men, little silly black men who can't wait until they get like a whole lot of money. Ooh, let me give my money to David Duke's daughter. Stupid. Anyway, I'm done. I know. I've pissed off your audience, but somebody's got to tell the truth on these people.
Well, my brother, I seriously doubt if folks are pissed off. As a matter of fact, you know, it's really time that we talk about speaking truth to power, but you know, oftentimes people don't want to do it because there's usually a lot of backlash. We'd rather, you know, dance around the issues and play silly little games.
Trayvon got front lashed. That boy McDade got front lashed. The boy that got shot up in Minneapolis and Milwaukee got front lashed. The boy that got hung from the trees. I mean, front lash is a part of my language. Front lash is a bitch, too. There's a lot of front lash.
Right.
Front lash when you don't get a job. Front lash when you have a mortgage. Front lash when you're discriminated and segregated. We're getting a lot of front lash. To me, if you engage front lash, they have less time to do backlash. Backlash increases when you're doing nothing about front lash. If I can hit you in your face, why can't I kick you in your behind two times? After all, I can hit you in your face by not kicking your behind two times. I mean, by letting me hit you in your face, you let me know I can kick you in your behind as many times as I want. You know, somewhere. You know, like I was saying to you a couple of days ago, people like, we should have a Wilson Good weenie roast. You know what I'm saying? And we should, you know, have a day where people just talk about how much they hate, you know, and send that brother, you know, send them some fertilizer, send them a big bag of, you know, go and send them a big bag of, you know, processed doo-doo. They can use in this yard, tell them this is what we think of you. And just have them, you know, or send them tickets to Nepal or to Iraq. Since he likes destroying stuff, he could go to Afghanistan, be a wonderful advisor. You know, send them to Libya. You know, get them a, get, you know, give them a travel guide to Libya. I mean, we figured from the ruins you'd really like this place. You know, people should be made to feel the rage of our community. That we're not going to forget. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. I totally agree. But, you know, we have become so weak and complacent in our communities nationwide. And these politicians or these so-called politicians that are in our midst, we literally push them out there. And you know, here in Philadelphia, it is some of the most interesting stuff to watch. Because here we are in 2013, and we still think that these people really have any real intention of helping us beyond any real degree of reality.
Remember the story I told you about that brother who got mad because he found out I was pro-life, and I told him I was anti-heart attack, stroke, and the other stuff. Then he got quiet. I mean, why should I want my sisters to have heart attacks, stroke, diabetes, osteoporosis? Am I a monster for thinking that sisters should have good health? That I'd like to see a lot of sisters live as long as my grandmother did to 95 years, or my cousin that lived to be 116 years old down in Augusta, Georgia. Is that evil? Mm-hmm. And the Congressional Black Caucus, I told you they got money from Pfizer. Remember I told you? I know no matter what, you halfway talk about something, and you see some of these folks are black. You know, it's easy when you say that these folks are just sexist black men, because they exist. But it's interesting. All the people who are stepping up to help us in Depo Provera are all black male Congress people. All of the black women Congress folks have refused. This is that contradiction I was raised with you about a lot of black women, you know, they're so full of doo-doo, they could be a natural gas field. You know, we could, like, power the East Coast off of some of these people. You know, just put a pipe in there just so they come out, right? How could you be a black congresswoman with, you know, all this mouth and all this seniority, and there's an in-your-face assault on your sisters? And even if you couldn't come, a letter or, you know, I get money from these people, but I am concerned. Something, anything. Zilch. I got white Republicans that want to help. But a black sister, this is a professional black woman. You know what? I'll tell anybody. Give me a sister from McDonald's who's got a good heart. And I'll take a working class sister and make a life with, because they're not caught up in the fact that they went to Bryn Mawr or something like that, or I went to Stanford. In fact, you want to meet a confused black woman? Meet one of them from Stanford, like Condoleezza Rice. I mean, like, she looks like Chucky with a gap in her teeth with, you know, that went to a tanning spa. She does look like Chucky. I'll say it again. I tell her face, you look like Chucky. And Chucky has his hair done better, too. And it's probably the color Condi wish her hair were. But that's another issue. You meet these so-called professional black women, and they hate black women. They hate black people. Maybe they had a black boyfriend. White boyfriend or a white girlfriend. And somehow they're so above all the issues, because what they teach them at these elite schools, and I'm a witness at Harvard, they taught all those sisters that they were woman. That's what they say, woman, I'm a woman, which means I am not black. But yet, woman, they're giving you Depo Provera, woman, right? They're doing all these eugenic things to woman. I remember trying to do something black, and they would say, I'm a woman. So don't ask, bring anything black to me, because I'm a woman. And when you say black, you're talking about black men.
And I know this, like, it's clearly a woman's issue within our community. I says, no, it's not. She said, then you wouldn't have said black. You would have said woman's issue.
And I said, this is insane.
Mm. This is absolutely insane.
Well, you know I know, my brother. You know I know because, unfortunately, I was kind of put into the position to have to deal with some of these women. And I can tell you, it did not go over really well because
you're,
I wasn't in
your
authority.
And women are the sisters supporting you. I'm talking about woman. That's a different thing, woman. And that's different. So there's nothing that my mind has been blown to go to people and try to do advocacy. I did this on Darfur. Went and asked these sisters, they're raping women. And she says, well, this is still, well, we appreciate your concern. And that's a nice way of saying, you know, screw you. So what you care about women, we're not going to get involved because it's, you know, you should come back to us and talk to the need for contraceptives in Darfur. Or you should talk about reproductive rights in Muslim countries. It's always killing babies or sterilizing. And you're having sisters pushing this. And you're thinking, you know, if you start talking about microcredit for women and empowerment, their eyes glaze over. But if you tell them about, oh, well, we have this new thing for women so they don't have to have children and have, oh, well, please come to my office. And I don't know what it is. It's somebody hurt them along the way. And that shouldn't be an excuse. And if I see a black man like that, we always go off on him. That just because you had a bad time in your professional life, like that congresswoman from California, who's a big, big reproductive, I mean, this woman loved Depo Provera, Congresswoman Bass from California. You would think that she puts this, like, sprinkles on her ice cream when she gets a McFlurry at McDonald's. Because we can't get no satisfaction, as the Rolling Stones say, from her. But you go and you try to talk to people. I'm serious, this is a woman. She's on that Emily's List that lesbian Ellen Malcolm had. Yep, if you want to bump off babies and you want to support, you know, rainbow stuff, as long as, you know, if you're down with sodomy, man, they'll fund anything. But you can't like real black women or children of men. That's not cool. Or as people will say, there's a way to say F you and policy speak, and that is, well, that's not our mandate. That's the way I would say to say that's not my mandate. From here on out, when you want to get mad at someone, say that's not my mandate. Or that's our funding source. That doesn't cover the mission of our funding source. That's the way to say F you. So I could say, well, 45 million African Americans at risk for being destroyed by my, that's not my mandate. My funding sources, before you know it, that means I don't care what it is. And so that's Washington. It should be called Washington or Brainwashington. I mean, it's deep down here. I mean, and the whole caucus, you should have seen all the black folks running around like they own the city, and they don't. I mean, and they would just walk around, and you know how people have the little Nazi armbands? I mean, that's what I thought of when I saw the Greek letter paraphernalia on people. I said that to some Greeks out there. I don't care. I'm not going to join. Hitting people across the behind is more likely to make you a slave master than a brother or a friend. Somebody say amen. I didn't know that about the story I saw where it was one sorority was making women online eat kitty litter out of the vaginas of their line sisters or their big sisters.
I'm not surprised.
That's a service. This is going to create new leadership in femininity to eat the kitty litter.
Why do you think this is why they call them secret societies? Because somebody wants to be telling that. But I want you to hold that point for 1 minute. I just got a text from Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. He's just plugging in. Yep, Brother Randy, I want you to stay right there. Chairman Freer is going to give us a couple of reports. One, I'm sure
most of you, if not all of you, have heard about the recent shootings that occurred in Chicago this week. I believe 11 people were wounded, including one small child. Sheriff Hislin gives an update on that, as well as this week there was a press conference in California to focus on the hunger strike that the prisoners have launched. So we're going to get a report on that as well. Lastly, I want to remind everyone that food stamps have been cut. So the chat room is open. We advise you to go there, do your postings. And lastly, you all have got to hear this story, and I'm going to present it now to both Brother Randy, Brother Fred, and all of you. Of course, a young sister was raped and murdered, 6 years old, on the 20th, I believe it was, this past week.
Mm.
In Louisiana, and of course, the person that did it said that the six-year-old seduced him.
Hold that thought.
We'll go back to that shortly. I just wanted to just jar you for a minute. But this Negro said that the six-year-old seduced him. He then raped and killed her. But hold that point. We're going to go to our live line, and we're going to bring in Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. My brother, hold on, he was bringing you in. There we go, we got you. Yo, Chairman Fred.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Dr. Ray, show love and respect. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hello? Okay, run on. I had to call for another cell phone. Was good to hear both of y'all voices. Good to be here. I know you said we're going to get a report back on a number of different subjects. I want to touch on the lineup that you mentioned first, that there being the hunger strike going on inside the California concentration camps. We just want to touch on that initially because I'm still in California now. First and foremost, it's the salute to all the courageous forces held behind enemy lines. In other words, inside those prisons, inside those concentration camps, for the courageous stance they have taken. And there was the majority of the prisoners, a number of them prisoners within the concentration camps throughout the state of California, had took on a prison strike, a hunger strike, in which up to 50 days, and I want to make sure I'm real clear with this term, this word. They have not ended the strike, they have suspended. Again, they have not ended the hunger strike, they have suspended the hunger strike, and they're still fighting for their demands. We just have the PLCC, the Black Panther Party Clubs, we just, along with a coalition of other organizations, had just mobilized in front of the house of Governor Jerry Brown. To put some street heat, some pressure on Governor Jerry Brown to send the response to the demands of those here on campus. The demands ranging from everything addressed to the arbitrary classifications that they have labeled on these different forces who are locked down. The stereotypical classifications, the gang classifications, and so forth. And to that in particular, the SHU, the Special Housing Unit. The special housing unit, and holding long-term isolation. But I really want to stress too that I'm not here in California. We're not in California, not in the stereotypical definition of a leadership, but that is a servant of the people in solidarity. Similar to that, we went to New Orleans, not going down there, giving the other things. Again, the issue of leadership was supporting what the people taking on. So we went down, we stand in solidarity with the prisoners who have taken on the stance and respect their right for self-determination. So we want to call on the people to put the word out through Twitter, Facebook, all the social websites, to keep those phone calls, the pressure of Governor Jerry Brown and the rest of the elected officials to respond to the demands that have been put forward to those who are captured inside the California concentration camps. And again, we say, as we're going to see UPD say, that prison is a microcosm of the outside community. We know it's brutal out here in these streets, and we see how the state is coming down with its repression more and more on the outside community. You just mentioned about the invited people in the food stamps in the community. So people should not can only imagine what's going down inside those camps. So again, we want to make sure that we support those forces in the sense they're taking inside those camps. I also definitely want to touch on this whole thing about this Chicago, Chirac. That's what they refer to Chicago now, Chirac. And it's a war zone. And I know it's an intentional subject. We heard about 13 people being shot at one time, and
yes.
two-year-old baby being shot. And even we admire a lot of us talking about 15, but they report that 10 people since then being shot. And I know a reaction response or emotional response could be that it's simply black people killing black people. I've been in this show a number of different times. I've heard a number of different times. It is, and I feel like the abstract conspiracy theorist, but again, the state has its hands on the government. We just got off the phone yesterday with some of our local leadership for the POCC, and they agreed to go to the people's investigation. And when we talk to the community, people are saying that they're right in that area, there have been no reports of people having any issues, the people having any issues with each other. Even the most apolitical workers are saying that this is police action. Again, this is, I want to go on record of saying that this is state-sanctioned violence. In fact, again, we're looking for some organized chaos going down in our community. That area is called Inglewood, and they have already mapped out that area. We're going to take their property. The developers have already marked up their value, their property. And so, again, they're creating the situation. I say, they, I'm talking about the CPS, Chicago Public Schools, Chicago Police Department. I'm talking about the mayor's administration. The city of Chicago in particular is responsible for what's going down in Chirac.
Kevin Fred, you know what? And we talked about this before, how they go from city to city, set these scenarios up. If you notice, over the past 5 to 10 years, they had D.C. as being the murder capital. They had Philly as being the murder capital. They had Detroit as being the murder capital. They had Camden as being the murder capital. They go around every year or every couple of years and select a location. Now, with that said, one of the things that concerned me about the report that I got was, and it has stuck out, it just hit me. The report, while it went into, 11 people or however many was shot, and then talked about the child. And then near the end it said, and so-and-so reported that it was men with dreadlocks that came out and started shooting. And I knew right then and there, I said, now this is interesting. So they're going to get ready to turn the people or try to turn the people against brothers wearing locks.
Hold on.
So that's the only description they gave. That's the only description they gave. They're the men who came out shooting, had dreadlocks.
And right on, Empress. And add to that, if we follow the trail of tears or the trail of blood, you can, out of the city when they did their crime capital, you can look back on the same usual suspects. Case in point. Whenever Philadelphia was named as a crime capital, you see individuals like Paul Gallis, a major player with Chicago, who played a role in Chicago Public Schools, and a key player during that Renaissance 2010, who was later moved to Philadelphia, who was later on moved down to New Orleans, and who was presently, last reported, is in Haiti. We can look at some of the same individuals. Superintendent McCarthy of Chicago Police Department. Look back what was going on in New Jersey, when he was in New Jersey. And again, you can look at, again, no other great example than that of the president of Chicago, Rahm Israel Emanuel, who was a former chief of staff for Barack Obama, the former chief of staff for Mayor Richard Daley. Amongst all the you see these same usual suspects, and every time there's a situation that's going down. So here was so again, we need to we can't afford the luxury to set you up or forget history. We got to connect the dots. You know what I'm saying? Again, you see these same names popping up on these same crime scenes when these situations are happening. Where they come, you know what I'm saying? And there's a vested interest, and there's an agenda set, whether it be the man's land grab or the property, or someone's going to get a contract at the expense of our people. You know what I'm saying? Again, you see these same names pop up.
Can I mention something as we say this? We have to remember that Rahm Emanuel comes from a Mossad Haganah family, a terrorist family that did arms smuggling. So aren't guns being used? Right?
Let me continue. In response to this, this whole thing about attempt to disarm the black and oppressed community. But like, as you just pointed out, Dr. Short, his history, aside from the fact, his father, you know, who had dual citizenship in America as well as in Israel. His international gangsters we're dealing with, his brother, who's a major Hollywood player. So this goes to the whole propaganda machine. And so all of this is tied hand in hand. And then
brother represents the Israeli Defense Fund fundraisers. So and I want to say more. Something happened on the 19th. Remember, former Mayor Daley has agreed not to run for governor. Why has he not run? And one of the reasons he hasn't run is that group that went after the city of Chicago for human rights violation, for those hundreds of not thousands of people were tortured in Chicago by the police. The whole political structure in the city of Chicago faces jail time, including Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel issued an apology to try to put a nice Khazarian face on what's going on, but we understand that they can't afford another foray into the international community by your group, people in opposition to them, and I suggest that there be some way that this could be done. But I want to go further and say one other thing, and it's very clear. Anyone that knows anything about the history of our people in the last 130 years, in particular the last 100, Chicago right now, Southside Chicago, is the largest black community in the country. They're trying to destroy it completely, and this is part of what's happening. Okay, it's been destroyed in D.C. It's being destroyed in Atlanta. It's being destroyed everywhere. Memphis is another place where they're targeting.
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit is gone. What I'm trying to say is every place that it's been, it's now Chicago and Memphis are our key places as well. New Orleans has managed to hold on in spite of everything. These are the pressure places. And Chicago, again, is going to be key for whoever runs. If Rahm is friends to Hillary, they want to be able to deliver that city for the Democratic Party in 2016. Of course, you can't have any insurgent movements. And why did I mention history? Black Chicago was the community that started the economic boycotts against white businesses that actually spread to New York. Most people think it started in New York. Almost 80-plus years ago, blacks in Chicago started the first huge mass movements economically to fight back, and other cities followed course. They have to break the black consciousness of your city. It's broken here in D.C. It's broken most other places. And this isn't completely understood. In fact, you know, you're a namesake of someone they're trying to break, brother. This is what they are after. And there's a real strange situation that they've been able to do something new in Chicago. They used to have, I'm forgetting the name, J.H. Jackson, the head of the National Baptist Convention. He was Dick Daley's number one slave catcher to keep all the black churches in line. So you have all those little crooked mega churches that are kissing Rahm Emanuel's penis ring. I mean, it may as well be, because his hand's probably just as dirty, knowing how he lives. You know, we've got literally a leadership structure that now is more interested in selling out the people for 501c3 and then getting some of the land and such, the same way Abyssinia, New York, has been against black people having property in Harlem while working with white folks to make black people homeless. In fact, Len Stewart, the famed attorney, she, her husband, and Betty Davis, who's an incredible black woman educator and activist, they were cheated out of about $10,000, $20,000 by the folks at Abyssinia. where they were trying to buy these brownstones and they were giving them to whites and ripping off black folks. And they're talking about black people doing this, or should I say blacknecks. These traders, mm-hmm. It's like Alderman Sawyer, who helped sell out Harold Washington in Chicago. You know what I'm talking about. You live in Chicago, Chairman Fred. I live over here, but I'm trying to follow. We've got these incredible sellouts, these proto-Obama types that people put so much faith in that are doing us in, and we refuse to even study them, to look at them two or three times, do you follow, to question what's really going on. Because if these few were either run from their positions or were under attack or were held accountable, they wouldn't want to be in those positions where they get to be overlords versus servants of the people. That's my take on this.
Right on. You made a number of right-on points, Dr. Shorten. I want to say this in regards to New Orleans, Louisiana, the sad reality is, though, even with Hurricane America, a lot of people call Hurricane Katrina, when we say Hurricane America, we say Katrina didn't kill nobody. They weren't able to prove up the last day, because sometimes I'm asking about using that word day. I don't even, the state, the government, the system was able to implement, make mass moves with the charter schools, and really make some major moves on the mass displacement of our people. I'm sure to be in New Orleans next weekend. Just even found up on some of the continuous attacks that have been launched on the people that they have still been subjected to. Everything from, again, the mass displacement to the furthering of the implementation of the plantation poison, the dope, the hemlock. In fact, one of the most apolitical Pied Pipers rapper, Lil Slave. We call him Lil Slave, called Lil Wayne. Even this idiot was able to comment that he said it's not a conspiracy, but he sees New Orleans, they said the states from New Orleans would be like a vacation resort. In other words, kind of like the plans the United States government had for Cuba early on. There's a matter of fact, not a vacation resort, but a brothel and a building for elected politicians. Excuse me. Also, you made another good point about the black population in Chicago, Cook County. Cook County in Chicago is per capita the largest amount of black people are concentrated in. And then we must start looking at this and understand why Chicago has the most toughest, stringent gun laws. And Chicago, and I'm not saying this objectively just because I'm based in Chicago, but again, we cannot negate the fact that Cook County is the per capita largest amount of black people are concentrated. And it's an attack. We must look at it. It's an attack. It's a concentrated attack on black people in particular and on trans people in general. And it's in the space for further attacks every other place. Bill Daley, who's Daley's brother, that's who he had to run for governor, who just announced he's not going to run for governor. You should check his history. Bill Daley, the brother of Richard Daley, and who was on Chase Bank, who was a major executive of Chase Bank. And when he got exposed about the long history and how Chase Bank was tied into the whole thing about the chattel slavery, how they benefited, how they profited of the slave trade, all of a sudden he was moved around like a chess piece. And then he was later moved in to be the chief of staff for Barack Obama after they moved Rahm Emanuel out of the chief of staff for Barack Obama. And so this is Richard Daley's brother. And they do, you look at these are the same usual suspects, and they move these individuals around like chess pieces. And I want to point this out, too. Not only the system of the government benefit of the genocide of our people, they start to build up who our so-called leaders are. It's no coincidence, it's not by happenstance that the press conference, right after this bloodshed with these 13 people being shot, Rahm Israel Emanuel was at the church. This guy, Reverend Cory Booker, who no one on the ground on the streets of Chicago knows this guy's history. This is the same individual with Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry just out of nowhere just donated $98,000 to this guy. the same individual who they claim supposedly to walk across America to bring attention to the crime in Chicago. And I mean, this individual, after he walked across Chicago, walked across America, he was a joke. He gained weight. I mean, after this big walk, he walked across. He actually gained weight. So it was known there was no actual work that he did. And this is these are the individuals that they're building up to be our so-called spokespersons. And you start connecting, who are the individuals at the state? They give us our problem. They're there to provide our so-called solution. And you look at this, it's the same usual suspects. They have individuals like Andre Holmes, who they build up as a so-called community activist. You can see his name, and all of a sudden, you know, a response from the community. This will bring these individuals up. Andre Holmes is literally directly with the Chicago Police Department. But so you have to start asking questions, why is it these are the persons tied to the state? They give us our spokespersons, our savers, these so-called crazy class. And again, it's referred to as organized chaos. What America does, and I've said before, and I'll say it again, whether it be in Iraq, whether it be in Detroit, as it is in Chicago, their policy is to create chaos and restore order. They have taken away the leadership in the streets of Chicago. You know what I'm saying? And it should also be acknowledged that Chicago is a base, that's the headquarters of all of these so-called black organizations. So we need to be very careful with the term leadership. You name it. I mean, from Conrad or Conrad Wood, you name it, to Jesse Jackson, base of Chicago. This is not by happenstance.
Well, you know, well, calling Jesse Jackson a leader
No, please, let me be clear. That's not the reason we take on saying, but that's what the state is for.
I was about to use some political humor. Jesse Jackson is a leader in self-serving racial ambulance chasing. He's now been superseded by Al Sharpton. Now, we know that. But I was going to mention this to you. That guy, Bill Ayers, that y'all all think who I think is some sort of a snitch, him and his wife, and, you know, Bernadine Dorn, that almost sounds like Broomhilda instead of, you know, but anyway, that's another discussion. You know Bill Ayers' brother, he's the one who's pushing for the destruction of public education, who is Arne Duncan's mentor. And, you know, Arne Duncan is like Barack Obama's basketball partner, perhaps other things, but we'll find that out after he leaves the White House. So you have Obama, as the president of the United States, preside over all these schools closing. And we need to understand that Obama with Arne Duncan. Arne Duncan is Bill Ayers' brother's hatchet man. They have this whole thing to destroy public education. So while Bill Ayers grins at you black folks in Chicago, his baby brother, or whatever, I don't care, it's his brother, I don't care, they're both white. Let me figure out which order they came in. It's still going to come out KKK. You know, no matter which day you put, it's still going to be three more K's behind it. All right, so we can call him Special K instead of Bill Ayers, right? And we're not talking about cereal, although we know General Mills and what's that family, the McCormicks that made all the Reapers and all. Isn't that interesting that they came from there? Okay. Now, the Ayers family lives up in Hyde Park, and they grin in all the black people's faces like they love us. Now, you tell me, I bomb the Capitol, and I come out, and I don't do any jail time? Come on. It's a plant. Bill and Bernadine are plants. And proof of that is that they gave us Arne Duncan and they gave us Barack Obama. I mean, when you tell me about these folks down in Angola, and even these people who probably didn't do anything that are in those concentration camps, Pelican Bay and Slauson and all that madness in California and everywhere else, how can people be in jail innocently for decades in Angola and other places, and these folks say they blew up something and they're millionaires calling policy? We're stupid to tolerate stuff like that. We should be demanding FOIAs to know everything about Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. How could they in any way have any of what they claim they had before and let the massacre of these children go down? Which means when it served the policy purpose, they said the right thing. Now that black genocide is cool and they've served their purpose to legitimize themselves, they're presiding over the destruction of the black community. Now, no, they're not the only people, but you know what? They shouldn't be welcome to anything. They shouldn't be feted as heroes and allies in struggle. You know, Sister Empress always goes off of me for having any hope in people who aren't black. Every now and then I halfway get weak because she gives me some of that bad Philly attitude. That Rizzo aftertaste in her says, well, I don't even care how committed they are. I just don't believe it, Brother Ren. And I'm saying to you, if you guys wanted to do something crazy in Chicago, y'all should demand a meeting with Bill and Bernadette and demand to come to the neighborhood and say, you know all the white people, knock this crap off, or we're going to say that you guys are fake. I mean, it's just, we don't want, you know, even if you did that, it's time for us to say, you damn white liberals, first of all, I don't believe in any such thing. Only thing they're liberal about is seeing us die off like the Indians, okay? This is something that can happen right now. You need to demand that Bill and Bernadine give a statement against school closing. They're not going to do it. See, we don't even demand stuff. You know, it's amazing how aggressive we are. You know, you go on a date, haven't even bought the woman a box of animal crackers and want to have all sorts of permission and privileges and immunities. You know what I'm saying, Sister Empress? Now, when it comes down to real power, sometimes we can demand, but people need to find out, who do you guys work for? You should find every single solitary Negro politician and fake white liberal and call them out. And as for Jesse Jr. and all those people, anytime you run in with two white tramps in two different cities buying $30,000, $40,000 watches for someone other than your wife and you say you care, he could have spent $30,000 to have saved a few lives to just have a couple of people walk around the neighborhood and talk to people. I mean, you buy a Michael Jackson memorabilia, you know, you ain't Thriller, and neither was his daddy. You know, so, you know, we understand that these people aren't real. But, brother, that whole thing on education, because another way you have chaos is when you have no knowledge, no education. And they're the ones, Bill Ayers' brothers, the main one behind this stuff happening everywhere. And it has picked up ever since. This strange person that looks like a half-breed Bullwinkle named Obama. And I call him O'Faga. Ever since he's been in the White House, they've closed more black schools than the KKK at the high point of Reconstruction.
See, let me interject for one moment, my brother, because I'm going to be the voice of positiveness here, even more so. Not that you all are, but let me tell you what I think. I think with the closing of schools, and I know Dr. Randy Short is not going to like this, but to some degree, and I do agree that we do need education, but I'm going to tell you, these schools, what these people are teaching our children and how they're teaching our children and they're brainwashing our children and so forth and so on, you know, while it's a dilemma, in one way, I'm like saying hallelujah, because them people are destroying our children, have destroyed us. Most of us, I mean, some of us were able to navigate through some of this stuff, but the lies, right, the lies and the other BS stuff that these people teach, I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I'm kind of really almost happy.
They got more child molesters in the Vatican on steroids up in these schools. God help them, but, you know, you may as well see the kids Vaseline and KY7 to go to school.
So with that said, That's kind of the plus side to this. Meaning, we got to get our act together. We got to have our own schools. We got to teach our own children. And before we go trying to, not that we shouldn't, don't get me wrong, because I'm definitely about trying to kick some white folks behind. But we need to get these Negroes in our community. We need to deal with them first. We need to clean house with these people first, because let me tell you. See, we know what the enemy is about and doing, but these people that smile on our face and, I'm one of you, and oh my gosh. What are we going to do?
I knew your point, but I'm with you on there, but in regards to school closing, my position is that I'm not talking to the quote unquote conscious community. I'm talking to the masses of people. We have to still seize the time, and acknowledge that contradiction
right.
that the most amount of schools in American history, they were closed down tenure of Rahm Israel Emanuel simultaneously. At the same time that it closed the hood line, the L trains that go right through the urban communities. So ideally speaking, we just don't do it. Sometimes we have to grab certain subjects. You know, I'm definitely with you on that. You know what I'm saying? But again, we want to see the time to really expose that contradiction, because it's been a continuous issue of miseducation, no doubt about it. I wish we were full force. I would also, I neglected to mention earlier about making a connection amongst these criminals. It's been brought to our attention that Mark Rizzo, the nephew of Frank Rizzo, has been placed inside the school. The player from Chicago for the healing. Again, the healing for victims of violence. So I'm stressing, and I know those in Philadelphia, excuse me, Philadelphia, know the history of this American gangster Frank Rizzo is, and we cannot do, when we talk about Philadelphia, what happened, one of our September 11 stories, one of our victims of terrorism stories, that of Move and the infamous bombing of Move. I can't, if we're free Move now, free Move now, what's that called, free them all. But I'm putting this out to say, the state, the system, they're not set tripping. And we, you know what I'm saying, they move these criminals around like chess pieces. So you'll see these individuals pop up in different places, and you see anticipated attack pop up. So we got to start keeping tabs on them. And I'm with you also about not only, we don't cop no peace for these Negroes. We call out, we don't care if it's slaves, Obama, whoever it is. But I don't think we need to get caught up in absolute either. In other words, we can walk in two gum at the same time. We can call out and expose Uncle Sam as well as Sambo, the gringo and the Negro, Rockefeller and Rockefeller. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's not either or. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, whatever it be, whatever it is, if it looks in this issue to the people, man, we see it's not happening. Because, neo-colonialism, you know what I'm saying? I mean, your blackface, white power disguised in blackface. In Chicago, has been a major tactic. In fact, the Daily Senior was notorious working a tactic. He was to the degree that when Dr. King came to Chicago, he had Negro preachers denounce King. And a lot of people said, well, we don't want to say nothing, we don't disrespect black people in the public. We have to up the ante. We don't, if they speak in the interest of white power in the public, we deal with them in the, like white people in the public. So again, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, whether it be, again, Uncle Sam or Sambo, the gringo or Negro. If it does not meet the needs of the masses, call it out, expose it.
All right. Well, before I let both of you go, I'm going to kind of go in another area for a moment because I'd like to hear your responses on this. Because, you know, we are both local, national, and international in our work. I'm sure by now that you have heard, and certainly our listeners have heard, that Brazil, the president of Brazil, of course, decided that he didn't want anything to do with Obama or coming to the United States because of the spying and other things that they've done, and, you know, suggested that, you know, these people send out an apology. That's issue number one. Issue number two is, of course, that the U.S. government decided to snub the president of Venezuela. Have you both heard of this? And if so, have a comment.
Yes. I heard about it, and I was thinking, my thought was something very interesting. I was talking to Elaine Riddick. Do you know she can sue internationally for damages for all the victims of sterilization?
Well,
and I was thinking
that's why,
asking the Bolivians or the Venezuelans to see if someone would file charges for, so my sister can have some money. Then you know what? I've been telling her about you. We can get your show subsidized. We can just raise hell for our people full time, not worry about nothing. We can be in a collective somewhere, all live in the same building. But then again, we don't want Wilson good luck. We have to stay in separate buildings.
See, absolutely. And I did speak with Sister Elaine, as you know. And again, what I've been telling our people is one of the things in going to the Justice Department on October the 25th is to begin to have this dialogue with international law and court. So, yeah, I'm very aware. In fact, that's part of the strategy. This has not been done to any degree. at least not to my knowledge, there's been talk about it, but to actually apply, you know, get those wheels turning and then to apply it, that hasn't been done. So this is what we're doing on October the 25th. We do the process, which is to do the initial presentation of the charge, to provide them with a preliminary brief, and to present a complaint. That has to be done. See, there's a protocol here. So conversation is good, but there unfortunately is a lot of other kinds of red tape or whatever you want to call it in order to get those governments to respond. And that's the process that we're now at and what we're doing. But I just said that because we now obviously will have two allies, which we already knew, certainly with Venezuela.
This is my first time here. I've been moving around so much I have not had any access to the media. But thank you for updating me on the information. And I want to say that it right on to the stand taking, because the deal is, one is amazing, Obama with the selection, I didn't say election, through the selection of U.S. President Obama, it has not only served in U.S. the United States government's interest nationally, domestically, it has served internationally to put this Malcolm X said, America democracy is an hypocrisy.
That's right.
And prior to Obama, the international community, Bush had become synonymous with everything from the devil to you name it. And Obama had played a key role, with again damage control for U.S. imperialism. So I want to say right on for any forces that nationally as well, and also those internationally, they call the question, they recognize what's really going on inside the confines of this nation. You dig what the fact that we got prisoners in California that we've been on a hunger strike for 60 plus days. And they were not ended it, but suspended it. And you say, what's going on inside these concentration camps? To the case of individuals went to college and played football. Gunned down by the police. I'm talking about, Trayvon Martin, on and on. But so again, I would say right on the clear speech to the international community that takes a stand to acknowledge what's really going on in this so called land of the home of the free, land of the brave.
And also to remind everyone that when we go to the Justice Department as a part of this year's anniversary celebration and observance for the Million Woman March, one of the things, Chairman Fried, I don't know if I gave you this update, but in going there, we plan to present the Justice Department also with our complaint and demand in regards to COINTELPRO. And this whole piece that we're presenting is focusing on human rights. Recently, of course, we saw this thing in D.C. where they observed the 50th year anniversary of the civil rights kinds of stuff. And, that's
all
good on
Washington.
Yes. Yes. Brother Randy. But again, we want to make sure, in keeping with the spirit of Malcolm X, of Queen Mother Moore, of Paul Robeson and others, we've got to put that out there. Human rights. Human rights. You see, because, we keep complaining to these people, and again, what's that concept or that phrase about taking the robber to his own jail or some other stuff like that? But the point being, we're complaining to the very people who are the crooks. We're complaining to them, like they're going to do something to check themselves.
We can't keep speaking French on that. There's certain individuals. We not classified with the charlatans and the rest of the charlatans. We need to be very clear that all of us do not want the same thing. Similar to that during the 60s, there were certain individuals that simply wanted to put on the toilet seat with the white folks. Then there was cut from the top of Malcolm. They want to set this from the termination. And that same contradiction still persists today. There are some adults that simply want to be able to sit on the toilet seat or be alone with white folks. Then there are us who want that delicious entity, that beautiful entity that I've heard a lot about but I have not yet got, that we have not yet got, that being self-determination.
Right, that's right, and that's what we're talking about, to really begin to push that concept, that line, all of that. Now, what we're going to do, because we have a caller who has a question or a comment for you, but before we do, I just want to read something briefly to everyone, because, again, for those who didn't hear, the vote 217-210. House Republicans passed a bill cutting food stamps by $40 billion and kicking 3.8 million people out of the program by 2014. Now, folks, I don't know what y'all thinking, but I'm just going to read one more part of this, then we're going to go to our caller who has a comment. The Senate already passed a bill cutting food stamps, but House Republicans just took it 10 times further. Under their proposal, over 1.7 million will lose food stamps this year, another 2.1 million next year, and even more in the following year. House Republicans know these cuts aren't going to become law. They are using their psychotic proposal to try and pressure the Senate into making even deeper cuts than the ones they already passed. So you hear the strategy here? So before you both respond to that, I'm going to go to caller. You're at 6426. I want to thank you for holding, and we'll now take your comment or question. 6426.
Peace and greetings, Sister Empress, and Dr. Randy Short and Chairman Fred.
Yeah.
My brother and sister.
Right.
Yeah. Right on, my brother. So this was powerful, as always, information that you guys. The Chicago issue is like, you know, in D.C., when we were doing the Menace to Society on that level, they brought in the National Guards, and the National Guards were on every block. So I guess that was probably like semi-martial law, and we ain't know nothing about it back then. But my question, Chairman Fred, ain't no National Guard, no tanks sitting on the corners up there with the big lights?
I have a number of different Negro representatives from Jesse Jackson to actually call for the National Guards to be brought inside the community. We definitely just said no National Guards brought inside our community, but they're setting the atmosphere to make it, to be a real war zone. And in fact, the community, the young brothers and sisters of Chicago in particular, they don't even call it Chicago anymore, they call it Chirac. And they recognize it as a war zone. But they are actually setting the stage, I believe, again, for National Guard. I believe the National Guard, and also, let me say this too, similar to that of the charter schools and their further attempt to privatize the prisons. They are similar to that New Orleans when they came over with Blackwater, another private corporation for them. They're setting the stage for that also. So not just the National Guard, they're trying to set the stage to call for that for private-owned police, the military, to come and occupy the community.
Yeah, I can see that happening because that's, but once the whiteys move in there, then none of this, then it all clears up like it's undone in D.C.
And on that note, brothers, let me just remind you that a few months ago, right outside of Philadelphia, part of Philadelphia, but what they call like Frankfurt or the White People Park, they now have hired their own private police people. So they're already kicking it off here. And also, Brother Yassin, remember when Camden, New Jersey, was declared the hot spot a few years ago, they sent National Guards over there too.
Exactly.
That's what they do. Yeah.
That's right around the corner. And then after they do that, give it a hot second, then they put Starbucks all over the place and move their folks in and semi-move us out.
We should also take note of these Negroes get contracts. Again, Watch your Negroes get contracts.
That's right.
If they already have contracts to go and implement these police forces in our community. And you, again, you would be surprised on how those who present themselves as nationalists or progressive who have a vested interest in this
right.
crime. So they can
right.
do their police force. So, again, we cannot be liberal about this. Again, take note on who has contracts with the city of Chicago to implement this occupied arm of this police force in our community.
Yeah, they put it on TV though. This is the movie the HBO joint The Wire mixed in with the
right.
joint in Detroit. They already showed us on TV how they going to do that. And you hit it right on point. Yeah. And one more thing I wanted to ask, sister. So what's going to actually happen when the Republicans are pushing the button in regards to this healthcare thing and the government not shutting down by saying we're going to take away the Obama healthcare plan, we're going to drain that money, and then we're going to cut the food stamps. How does that play out?
Well, I mean, this is still developing. This just happened on, I think, Thursday. And as it has been suggested that basically it's a strategy to really produce more cuts in some other areas, including food stamps, but it's just like with anything else. Like when these people put a charge on you or on us or, you know, in that nature, they usually
right.
put like 10 or 15 charges on you. Because
right.
their whole objective
yeah.
is to,
yeah.
to kind of create an illusion, whereas
yeah.
they really wasn't thinking about the whole 15. They just really want to get you on four.
Right.
But what
yeah.
they want to do is make it seem like, well, you see, we're going to be lenient or we're going to be, you know, understanding. And rather than charge you, rather than give you all 15, we're just going to give you five.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what they want in the first place. So this is a game
yeah.
that they play, you see.
Yeah.
And we don't even want to understand some of this nonsense. Well, it's not really nonsense because,
yeah.
I mean, it worked. It works for them, so, you know. But the point being, we sit back and watch this stuff. And the same thing with these politicians. Now the brother just said something about contracts. See, these politicians, especially in our community, are very slick, or at least they try to be. So between the campaign money that they get under the table, okay,
right.
This is another way this game is played. You got these
yeah.
big developers coming into all these cities, and these black folks are letting them have all this land, all this property, and at the end of the day or the end of the week or whenever, these people, their pockets are getting really, you know, pretty tight, pretty puffed up. So this is going on. Now, lastly, hold on, one other thing is this. Kim and Fred, they closed
yes.
roughly 50 schools in Chicago, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Philly,
correct.
They did, go ahead. 50. Philly, they did roughly 28. Detroit, I'll just forget Detroit because they just, you
yeah.
know, wiped out
yeah.
the whole school board in Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
of course, I think D.C. has some. The point that I'm making is all over the country, these people are moving on their land. They are
yeah.
clearing out land. They're closing
yeah.
up schools, building more prisons. I mean, come on, family.
Yeah.
Don't. I mean,
yeah.
this is not rocket science.
Right.
And can I say something? Right here in D.C.,
yes.
Mayor, his name is Mayor Gray, but a lot of folks call him Mayor Gay. He just said no to people getting a living wage, and they're going to bring Walmart in. They're going to Mississippiize Washington, D.C. And I don't know if the city council is going to go against him. But this is what I keep talking about, these black nets. And, see, here's the thing. It's not just that. Student enrollment is down. Undergraduate enrollment is down at Howard University and other places. All the HBCUs, which, you know, have done their BS and so forth. Almost everything is about to get rolled. And you know what? Once these people shut these things down, watch a lot of these black politicians who've done these deals start going to jail. I mean, the all this stuff to hurt their own people, there'll be no one to protect them. And
exactly.
that's why we're black next. Let me tell you something. And once they cut food stamps, you know what they're going to go after next. And Obama has said he's ready for it to get gone. That's affirmative action. Bye-bye, bourgeois, big sellout Negroes. Nobody could tell you about OFAGA. You didn't want to hear anybody say anything about OFAGA. And now OFAGA's destroyed your way of life. And you know what? A family can go from being wealthy to poor, in particular black families. Intergenerational wealth doesn't necessarily go from one generation to the other. We know that, and I can tell you, my family on several sides has been affluent at one point and ended up being poor due to racism. I mean, it can happen. Eminent Domain took $1 million property from my father right here in the last 10 years. So, I mean, what could we do with $1 million property? You can do a whole lot with it. So people need to get up off of thinking that they're safe. And you know what's going to be next? They're getting the schools. You know they're going to start getting next. And this is what they do in D.C. And that's why I get so disgusted by the folks who are into homo fair. Because you're talking about campaign money. I call it scampaign. And we don't call Starbucks Starbucks because we use a different word at the other end of the star. I mean, that's what they are when they get in their lab case. Thank God for that crazy Caribbean that went postal on their asses in the Navy Yard. And by the way, that crazy mayor in Detroit that's dogging everyone, Bing, he's a tribe. Mm. He's from Guyana. He's from Guyana. Okay, why do I know? He's related to me. My mother's sister's married to his cousin. All right? So they're all using these foreign black people to do stuff. They look like they're black from here, and they're trapped. They're from someplace else with interest. So that Cory Booker, you know, the other thing is, if this is Yazin, that's the other thing.
Yeah, and what's up, Randy? How you doing, my brother?
We got all of this. I'm cool. We have all these biracial, bisexual, if not gay, black politicians, okay? Fenty, the mayor before this one, he was gay, beating his wife worse than, what's his name, Larry Spinks and Martin Luther, I'm sorry, and Muhammad Ali. I mean, it was like, you know, smoking Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali the way he'd be beating his woman. He's a bisexual Jamaican. We get these strange people, and we don't look and find out who they are. And they're aligned with what I call homo fair. They're getting money from the gay folks, because that's who they're using as a spear tip to get us out. It would be something pointed, too, right, with them. But I won't get into that. So you've got this in D.C. You've got this everywhere. And nobody talks about it. You know what? That same spear tip, the first people they go to move out, and Yazin can tell you, the first thing they start doing is the gay folks start complaining about black folks who come to worship on Sunday. And before you know it, they're ticking in all the people's cars and toying. And so, you know, when folk have bad knees like my mama, they don't want to walk 5 blocks to get to the church. So when the church moves, they feed. So that all these black churches that you know, have been on the wrong side of everything with their 501c3 money, then they get kicked out. Like that church in Metropolitan with that punk pastor. Right. Yeah, sir.
But Chairman Fred, I mean, and Sister Empress. So if we break all the way down to the economic system on why our brothers and sisters, you know, it's more guns being peddled in different states at certain periods of time, and the economic system on the lack of being able to take care of their families because of the lack of jobs. If they do this welfare thing, man, it's going to be all-out warfare. That's crazy. I mean, hold up.
Here is a prediction, okay? And I was talking to one of my sisters earlier today, and I said to her that what's going to happen, see, this is all a setup, and they're creating a mindset and a psychological thing already. Within the next 2 years, I suspect there will be a new drug in our community, just like they put crack cocaine in. There's going to be a new drug in the black community that's going to flood the black community, and this is how folks are going to look at making that extra money, because the economy is so bad right now, folks got to give some money. And they know there's two things that's going to always sell, sex and drugs. So, in about 2 years, we're going to see a flood of a new designer, meaning new, totally chemically put together drug. and our people will be selling their drugs, doing two things at one time, meaning they will be killing our people with their drugs, and they will be going, and we will be putting people in jail.
Yeah.
Watch.
Just 2 years. If I could ask you one more point, and also, what are the assets as well as liabilities with our people is? Whatever the situation is, we adapt. Sometimes that's horrible. Also, at Cook County Jail in Chicago, I mean, you see, brothers would take cardboard boxes and make microwaves, or put them on a light bulb. We figure out some way to always, yeah, as opposed to challenging us and adapt sometimes. And it's an asset as well as a liability. And
right,
we have to do our job on politicized, because it can be terrible, but it can be fine. Because the communalism in our community is heightened. So we seem like, you know, on the rough conditions, we can get tighter, or
right,
we can become more pragmatic.
Right.
So it's either
right,
or, so it's a part of the mission. Do we cultivate the soil, and we make sure,
right,
you know, so we politicize the people, because it can go either or.
Yeah, history shows that this is the front line statistically. When it does get tight like that, it is a more coming together. So you're right on that, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure we do our job, because see, like you said, my brother, it's a history show, but ain't nobody been through what black people go through, man. You know what I'm saying? As I pointed out earlier, not only did they close down a large amount of schools in American history of Chicago, they shut down the transportation, they flooded a particular type of drugs, they locked up certain individuals. So we must, with this welfare situation, it's not just going to be eradicating the welfare, it's going to be a combination of things. They bum rush us. They eat everything, including
right,
the kitchen sink. So you know what I'm saying?
So we're
talking about crack. See, not only when crack came to our community, they took away certain institutions in our community. So you know what I'm saying? So we must acknowledge there's not going to be no one hit wonder with us. They bum rush us. You know what I'm saying? And black folks are treated like the Rodney Dangerfield of all races. In other words, no respect. So not only would this do they eradicate this welfare, the school closes, they're gonna bring in more agent provocateurs. Watch the movies. Watch the propaganda they'll come with. In Chicago, look who they bring up these TV shows now, the Queen Latifah. This is strategic. Around America, in the '60s, when they got rid of the Black Panther Party, they came in with Superfly movies. They came in with the images, you know what I'm saying? So we start saying words like Superfly. Men start pressing their hair back. Men start wearing high heel shoes, see-through shirts, you know what I'm saying? They were strategic.
Yeah,
it was strategic. So the propaganda, the politics, the economy, they just didn't get rid of the Black Panther Party. They flooded our community with dope. So you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They came with Superfly movies. They came with all that. It was strategic. So they bum rush us.
Yeah.
Well, my brothers, unfortunately, we are down to our last few minutes, so I'm going to give each of you 1 minute to give your closing comments, because we run out of time. But we're going to be black tomorrow, because we're doing segments all this week, and our last one is tomorrow, so we will be able to continue. But for right now, I need to give you each 1 minute for your closing comments. Dr. Randy,
well,
you want to start?
Hey, everybody sitting back like who's going to jump? Jump or judge first? Is who going to jump?
I was just saying Revolutionary Love and Appreciation of the Empress, Dr. Short, my brother who called in. I'm honored and humbled, you know, to be on this call lab. I look forward to getting online again. And see you the time. You know, what's our call for them all? Please, our blogspot, Chairman Fred Jr. blogspot.com. Power to the people, Revolution, love, respect, again, to you, to everyone who called in, and to the people in general, the people in general.
All right. Good. Thanks,
right,
Kim and Fred. Dr. Randy?
I'm going to say I'm praying that King Latifah's show fails. I want to mention to folks that this K2, I believe there will be a synthetic drug, something even worse than K2, I believe,
yep.
In addition to that, along with the new drug, they always come out with the new VD. I believe this gonorrhea, within a week's time, is the perfect drug for people who don't have access to ambulances and hospitals. So they're pushing. all this hedonism, all this constant sexuality, nastiness is the way. So when they release that virus or bacteria, we'll be whoring ourselves to death, and they'll say, oh, well, you black eyes, low morals did it. So we need to rediscover morality and respect for ourselves like our ancestors had.
That's right.
All
I just basically, yeah,
very,
I just
want
to just say thank, you know, it's always, I always give thanks when I see those that's keeping the movement going and trying to open the pineal glands of our folks so they can see what's going on as well. And, you know, that's you, Sister Empress, and my brother, Dr. Randy Short, and Chairman Fred as well. So peace, joy, and oneness. That's it.
All right. Well, I thank all three of you again for making this dialogue a hot one as usual. I love it. And our family listening audience loves it too because they keep tuning in, and we are also very thankful for that. But, family, we have again run out of time for right now, but we're coming back not next week, but tomorrow, actually, to wind up our what we call Black Women's Forum, Power Forum for this week. But as you can tell, we're talking about a lot of topics that is relevant to all of us. I want to again put out there that I did send out to all of you, Brother Yassine, Brother Fred, and Dr. Randy, the article on the six-year-old little girl in Louisiana that was raped and murdered. And the guy said she should do. I sent that to you. We're going to talk about that more tomorrow. But for right now, family, we've run out of time. Thank you all.
Is that Yassine 360?
Yeah,
yes.
Bro. I'm like you.
Yes.
I've been waiting for it. I'm still.
Hey, brother. I gotta close the show out. Y'all gotta hold that one for right now. But yes, that's who it is. But anyway, family, we got to go, and we thank all of you again. We're going to leave you, we got to close out, family. We got to close out.
They all guilty.
I'll reconnect you all later, but we got to close out for now. And you all can tell we are really indeed family, but folks, we got to leave tonight. And we're going to resume this very, very soon. We're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, Nicodemus. No real peace without truly justice. Family, it's time to up the ante. Let's really strive now to be truly free. And we stand by any and all means necessary. Till next time, for multitude descendants, so shall win. Love all of you. Thank you, my brother Yassine.
Thank you, Chairman. Peace and greetings.